In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
As we arrive at this Sunday before Christmas, we hear this long list of ancestors of Jesus, going back 42 generations. All these fathers after fathers, and a few moms thrown in for good measure. And the emphasis Matthew is making is that in celebrating the birth of God incarnate, we want to take a moment to remember the human nature that Jesus assumes for himself. We've spoken a number of times on the emphasis Matthew is making here on just what kind of humanity the Son of God is taking on through these all too human parents and grandparents. But Matthew is also making a second point with this list of ancestors. If you hear this genealogy more than once, sooner or later, it'll dawn on you that something feels off about this list. More than one person has found it a bit jarring to list ancestors in order to emphasize Christ's human nature, but have it be a genealogy of somebody Jesus isn't even related to, Joseph. We go from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through David and Solomon. We include Zerubbabel and Zadok, all the way down to Joseph, who it says is betrothed to Mary, who gave birth to Jesus. But then Matthew spends the rest of the chapter explaining how Joseph is not related to Jesus, explaining how Joseph isn't related to Jesus at all. Matthew is very clear about it. Why go through Joseph's lineage to emphasize Christ's human nature when Joseph had zero to do with Christ's human nature? Why not trace Mary's lineage? Is it just the patriarchal nature of Judaism, or is there something more? Author David Philip Nelson tells a story from his childhood. He was 12 years old and an only child, and his parents would occasionally take in foster kids. They'd recently had two boys, ages 8 and 10, so a little younger than David, staying with them. David's parents approached him one day. "We would like to adopt the two boys," David's dad began. "But you're 12 years old, and this affects the whole family, so we want to hear your opinion." Now, David was ecstatic. But his father stopped him for a moment and said, "Now, David, think about this. If we adopt, they will be your brothers, not your stepbrothers. Brothers. They will share everything we share as a family. They'll share our food. They'll share your games and your sports equipment. They'll share our time and attention as parents. They'll share the TV and later the car. And someday they're going to share your inheritance. And no matter what happens," Dad said to David, "if we choose to adopt, it is real and it is forever. It is real and it's forever." Now, even though David could only grasp some of the implications of all that at the ripe old age of 12, he agreed and the adoption happened with all its joys and all its challenges. When the boys reached adulthood, one of David's brothers stayed close to the family for the rest of his life. The other led a troubled life and was rarely heard from, mostly just disappeared. Eventually, the parents died one after the other, and in the days after the second funeral, the will was given to them by the family attorney, and sure enough, everything was split evenly three ways. The brother who had drifted away was rather shocked. "I don't deserve this," he said. "I haven't been around, and I'm not really even their kid." But David cut him off, saying, "You are our brother, our real brother. Your place in this family is real, and it is forever," using his father's very words to him way back when he was only 12 years old. "It's real, and it's forever." So back to the gospel. Why does Matthew trace Christ's lineage through Joseph when Joseph wasn't Jesus' real dad? Well, maybe Matthew's implying, who says Joseph wasn't Jesus' real dad? Now, certainly Joseph wasn't Jesus' biological father. Nobody's arguing that. But does that mean he's not his real dad? What we're saying is that adoption is just as binding and just as real as biology. Matthew is emphasizing that Joseph is Jesus' real dad on earth through and because of adoption. And Joseph proves his real fatherhood over and over again as he cares for and as he protects and as he teaches and as he raises and eventually lets go of Jesus, raising him in that very unique role that Jesus has. Now, Matthew's use of this genealogy to spotlight the power of adoption and the realness of adoption is not actually just about Jesus in the past. It certainly informs our understanding of Christ, but it's also about you. It's also about your life. Matthew's highlighting adoption is also about who you are and who I am. You see, without adoption, I have no life. I have no life. Like every other human being, I came into this world under a death sentence. And if I'm really blessed, I might live 90 or even 100 years, but the grave will get me in the end. No way around that. No way around that. I am dust, and unto dust shall I return. And the whole purpose of the Savior's coming is to break the bondage of death that it holds over us. And Jesus does that by granting us the privilege of being adopted by God, by becoming no longer merely children of these mortal bodies, but children of the eternal one. And just as author David Nelson's adopted brothers received equal shares of the family's inheritance, we each receive an equal share of the inheritance of eternal life that Jesus Christ has by nature. We receive the same life, but by adoption. In the epistle to the Galatians, which we will read actually later this week for Christmas liturgy, we are reminded that we were born under the bondage of death, but Jesus Christ came to you that you might receive adoption as sons and daughters. And through this adoption, God becomes your Abba. That's the word Paul uses, Abba. And that's not father in some formal or distant sense. It means papa. It means dad. It means daddy if you're really young. And because God is now your dad, your real, genuine dad, because God is your dad, it says in Galatians, you are an heir. You are an inheritor of God and everything that God is. And your preeminent inheritance is love and life, an eternal life basking in divine love and receiving the divine nature itself. When God adopts you, you're not just an object with a creator. It's a parent-child relationship. You are a son or daughter of a divine parent. And so, yeah, if you ever wondered why Matthew traced Jesus' genealogy through Joseph, when Joseph had nothing to do with the Savior's humanity, his human nature, remember the word adoption. Jesus Christ came into the world that we might become adopted sons and daughters of God Almighty, and that we might be equal inheritors of the divine nature. And in the words of author David Nelson's dad, no matter what happens in your life, your adoption by God is real and it is forever. Amen.